Well, I was led, and Ariel, bless your heart, I was led to Joshua, the first chapter.
Oh, my goodness.
And Ariel, I was led to the ninth verse. Would you believe that?
Ariel, it's called the Holy Spirit.
I really was, Ariel. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Would you say that was a coincidence? Would you say it's a coincidence that for 18 weeks your mother has been faithful in a class dealing with the disciples' cross, the disciples' victory, the disciples' personality, and 6 weeks more to go to complete that full course, and she stood up here and followed what she had been reading and learning, and so did her friend. Shawnee was in that class, and Shawnee was a blessing to that class. Thelma was in the class until her health broke, and she wasn't able to be here. But I am so pleased that I have seen God at work tonight, right before my eyes. I wanted to mention a couple of thoughts. You know, man in his effort to connect with his past spends a lot of time and money tracing his family tree. I bet if I ask any of you to acknowledge it in here, I would be surprised at the number of hands I'd see. You know, some even use their vacation in search of antiquity. Yet, every time I pick up this old Bible, I have the infinite word of my infinite God in my finite hand. Do you know what the oldest thing in the world is? It is this word. Did you know before God created Adam, his word exists? Did you know that he spoke the universe into being by his word? And here you search for your family tree. I remember Ann and I spent lots of time in Europe going into the antiquities. Rome, ancient Rome, the Vatican. We went to Berlin and we saw some of the sites there. But it's just recently dawned on me that this Word of God is the oldest existing item in the world. You know, if you turn to Genesis, you can read this for yourself. You don't have to take my word. Adam, it says, was visited by God in the cool of the evening where they walked and talked. Think of this. Before God gave man the knowledge to read or write, add or subtract, multiply or divide, was his word. This word. Oh, this is a book and it's got pages and print in it. But you know, before this book was, and before these pages were, and before this print was here, there was the word. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever thought of it before? That would just kind of fall over you like a comfortable sheet and just drape over your body. The Word of God. We are being directed by the Holy Spirit to a greater appreciation of his infinite word. Directing us to love him more and more, Lillian, while learning to live in his word daily. This word. We are to spend time with the Master. How often? Daily. This word. This word right here. He said so. He said that his word would remain the same. yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. Do you know what that means? Do you know that the same words that he spoke to hang this world in space, he spoke to Adam. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Did you know that? And that same word that he spoke to them is the same word he spoke to you. And the same word you're hearing tonight when you hear me read from this scripture. That same God. Is that awesome? Now when we read Joshua 1:9, let's see if we can bring this into fruition. Have I not commanded you? This is the word that spoke this world into existence. The hangs it out here in the universe tonight, spinning and traveling thousands of miles an hour, turning at 25,000 miles an hour. This is the same word. Have I not commanded you, Gilbert? Be strong of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Is that a promise? Can you stand on that? I can stand on that. His word is everlasting. From beginning, before there was a beginning, to the end, and even after, his word will remain. When his children spend time daily with their father, they are being obedient to his word. His mighty power working in and through his children is unlimited and beyond our comprehension. So when I'm speaking to you tonight, don't sit there and try to figure it out. It's beyond man's comprehension. But we do know that in the latter days, man's knowledge does increase, don't we? Well, there's some of us in here, Casey, Dennis, me. I won't mention anyone else. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But there's some of us in here that are old enough to be living proof that we've seen knowledge rapidly increase. You know, we remember the day of the Model T. We remember the day of the first television. I remember the day that electricity came to my town. There's a lot of things I remember. But you know the most important thing I remember was the day I gave my heart and soul to Jesus Christ. Amen. I was only about 9 years old, but I remember it as if it was today. I've heard those people say, well, I can't remember. Well, I can't forget. I just can't forget. What a day. What a day that will be when in glory my Jesus I see. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. We fight an unceasing battle. We who spend time daily with the Master can have confidence. We know his ultimate weapons are prayer, his word, and his gift given to us to communicate through his word by our prayers and that of the Holy Spirit who speaks on our behalf while Jesus Christ stands at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us. We really need somebody to speak on our behalf and to intercede for us, don't we? That ought to give you real comfort to know such a great God. It's also important to know this. There's going to be battles and they are going to continue. Evil forces are going to come against us as long as we are in the world, and especially as long as we're not of the world. The Bible tells us to be prepared for that. But the Bible also tells us, and in the words of our God, that the battle is not ours. The battle is His. And even yet, while we're on our knees, the victory has been won. Did you hear that? I don't have to get up in the morning and roll my sleeves up and go into battle. But I do need to get up and put my knees under my body at my bedside and pray, "Oh God." And while I'm there, Juanita, the word says the victory is being won for me. I want to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I want to read to you. And if I believe anything, I believe had these three women spent a little more time up there, one of them would have gone to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, the 15th verse. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you too, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude." See, there was a great multitude gathered just outside the camp to destroy the children of Israel. "For the battle is not yours, but God's." In the 17th verse, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear, do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Can you grasp that? That word is a part of the oldest word on the face of this earth or any other earth. That is a promise, as they used to say, you can carry it to the bank. I like to say that's a promise that God can credit to my account. Amen. I believe it. Do you believe it? There's no doubt in my mind what I've just read applies to me and it applies to you. And we are getting ready to face some tough times. And some of you may already be facing them. But he says, the battle is mine. The battle is mine. He says, "Listen, all of you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, all of you, listen, and you too, King Jehoshaphat." Could we kind of tie that to our world and to our politics in America? "And you too, Mr. President. Thus saith the Lord, my children do not have to be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but mine, and I'll deliver unto you the victory." Amen? Amen. If you believe that, let me hear it again.
Amen.
I tell you, I can live with that promise, can you?
Yes.
I feel it just welling up inside of me. If I could dance, if I could do a jig, I'd run right out of here and do it, even though I'm a Baptist. If Andrew would come up here and play something on that piano, I'd do it anyway. You know, but after reading this wonderful word, there are still those who doubt. "But Father, what am I to do?" It's easy for Lawson to stand up there and read the scripture, and maybe he has a plan, but what am I to do? Well, this is what touched my heart with the three of you. Here's what he said, Lillian. He said, "You seek and obey. You knock and ask. You, knowing my word, believe me. Depend on me. Believing and having faith in my word while continuing to worship and praise and spend time daily with me, that's about all you'll need." Does that sound familiar? Six disciplines. spend time with the Master, live in the Word, pray in faith, fellowship with others, witness, and minister to the world. Those disciplines separate us from any other animal on the planet. Did you know that? And they separate us a lot from a lot of other human beings on the planet. Did you know that? I guess we could call some of them animals too, couldn't we? You trust and obey. You trust and obey this word. And then pass it on. Just pass it on. If you want to help some fellow traveler along the way tomorrow that is feeling the pains of being laid off, the unpleasantness of a home being repossessed, a sick child or a dying mother, pass on what I'm speaking to you tonight. Pass on God's word, Joshua 1:9, 2 Chronicles 20:15 and 17. Pass it on. And if you are living in the Word, there's much more you can pass on, isn't there? We are continuing to live in a world daily. And we are through good times and bad. But we are to continue in the good times or the bad to have faith in God. Have faith in God. God knows your problems, and He knows your enemy. And He knows that there are many of us that are alarmed. It's easy to stand here and share the word with you. Maybe some would even accuse me of preaching. But when it comes right down where the rubber meets the road, and we are honest, there's times when we are alarmed. Oh, ye of little faith. Jesus spoke those words to a principal disciple who went on to fill the job that God had called him to fill. And Ananias and I saw the evidence in the Vatican in Rome that said on this day in 67 A.D. the Apostle Peter was crucified upside down just 300 yards from here at the Circus Maximum. We saw an additional piece of history reported on that same day just outside the South Gate. The Apostle Paul was beheaded. And yet, we are told to have faith in God. Have faith in God. Listen, if you don't remain in the Word, listen carefully. If you don't remain in the Word, you've got trouble. Because the Bible tells us that faith in God comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word. Are you with me? Those of you that read the Bible occasionally, come see, come saw, you are rolling the wheel of fortune because you'll eventually lose your blessing. You cannot continue to have faith in God when you're not in His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now you see how important that is? Spend time with the Master and do what? Live in the Word. Why is it really that important? Because it is faith that seals our fate. It is our faith. It says, by grace, through faith, are you saved. God does know our problems, and He knows our enemies, and He knows we're alarmed. But he has left this great word of his, and it says, the battle is mine. You have faith in me, and I will handle the battle. What a great God, huh? The scripture makes it certain if we have problems involving others, such as family members, and some of us may have, or church members, and some of us have had, or those, whoever they may be, that come against us for any reason. The Bible indicates that we are to pray and even deputize or ask others to pray with us. And the victory will come. It took me a long time to reach an understanding of why I should ask Gary to pray with me. The scripture, this word that has lasted before the creation until today, says that where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there I am amongst you. Listen, if we want Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, in here tonight, guess what? Before this night's over, if we come against Satan or against the evil or against our problems, or we hold this church up as a light on this corner, if more than just me, if we, the scripture says, he'll be here with us. Now, how does that happen to make you feel? Would you like to leave here tonight knowing by this word that Jesus Christ's presence was here tonight? I would. In fact, there's no use for me to be up here, and there's no use for me to be here tonight if he's not. Because I have nothing to say to you that's going to help you to change your life one way or the other. Turning to God is not something we do only in our time of emergency. We are to continue in the Word, in prayer, in season, and out of season. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and draw near to God. And the Word of God says, I will draw near to you. And it further tells us, without even asking, and when you do, Satan will flee. Listen, that's power. That's power. That's power in the blood. And knowing what I just told you, we are to put that booger on the run. We are to keep that snake moving on out of our lives, out of our community, out of our churches. How do we do it? In the Word, and we pray, and we draw near to God. How do we draw near to God? We spend time with Him. And I could go into great detail. Maybe God will lead me to bring a message on that. How do you spend time with God? Well, you spend time with God the same way you spend time with your mother or your father or your children. Quality time you spend with God. Not, I guess I'm going to have to spend some time reading the Bible. Knowing God's will becomes natural. And see, that's what we need. We need to be so ingrained in the Word and so wonderfully attached to God and the principles that God has given us to live by. We ought to be so close to Him that it becomes natural. Not supernatural. Not something we have to think about. As natural as breathing in and breathing out. And that will happen when you spend time with Him daily. Just how great is our God, you ask? Well, when you get to know Him better and better, He'll give you everything you need for living a good life. He will even share His glory with you, and His glory, if you didn't know it, is revealed in His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He'll share Him with you. For God so loved the world that He shared His only begotten Son with man, that whosoever That includes me, aren't you a whosoever?
Amen.
Would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know that word was out there somewhere before he held this earth up in his hands and give her the spin and then put Adam and Eve on it? And way in the future he saw that you and I would be there. And he said, this word will never, ever end. It will never go void. The same words I spoke to Adam, I will speak to you. Oh, fellow brothers and sisters, what a God we have. What a promise.